The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord of light, shine upon us. God of love, fill our hearts with your wisdom. Holy Spirit, guide our actions that they may be pleasing to you. Use this time to transform our thoughts and make us stronger in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So, why did he do it? I mean, what was the point? What difference could it possibly make to him? And what's that got to do with us now? What I'm talking about, of course, is baptism. Specifically, Jesus' baptism by John. You ever wondered why Jesus, would insist on being baptized? This is something like the 19th or 20th time I've had to preach on the baptism of Jesus. And it still makes me think about why he did it. I mean, wouldn't it be highly unlikely and unnecessary for the Son of God to need baptism? The answer that I found for myself, and which I'd like to try to share with you, only draws me closer to him and leads me to embrace the significance of my own baptism. Now, John's understanding of the purpose of baptism was for repentance, the forgiveness of sins, and the establishment of a new relationship between God and humanity. Okay, we got that. So why did Jesus need to repent? What sins of his needed to be forgiven? It is true that Jesus was fully human as well as fully divine. And the human Jesus was tempted just like we are. But we also believe that he remained sinless, right? Nevertheless, Jesus submits to being baptized. I think one reason he submitted to baptism, insists on it as a matter of fact, is the same reason that he was born in a barn and not a castle, or appeared as a baby and not already fully grown, or in some other spectacular blockbuster manner. The same reason that he eats with tax collectors and prostitutes, cries and prays in a garden, and dies the most degrading and painful death, a very human death. Quite simply, Jesus comes to be like us so that we can grow to be like him. Jesus is baptized into our humanity so that we might be baptized into his divinity. There's an interesting tradition in the Eastern Orthodox Church, I really like this, that surrounds baptism. It says that those who are baptized in the same font become siblings. They're considered the same flesh and blood. And very much the same sense, by being baptized, Jesus chooses to become one with humanity at his baptism. And when we were baptized with water and the Word, we too were made one with Christ and the family of God. There's another point about Jesus' baptism that I think is extremely important for us to see. At his baptism, Jesus receives the Holy Spirit, and he is clearly identified for our benefit as the Son of God. As much God as Father, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. This is the same Holy Spirit whom Jesus will give to humanity at Pentecost, It is the same Holy Spirit with whom God instills in us at our own baptism. So why does it matter? What possible difference does baptism, Jesus or ours, make? Well, let's talk about it in terms of grace. Great Lutheran concept, grace. Now think about a special baptism that you've witnessed, especially an infant baptism. I like to think back to special moments when I baptized my own grandchildren. Now, had these babies solved the problem of world hunger? Had they discovered a cure for cancer? Had they helped bring about world peace or taken care of the homeless? Well, no. But after all, they are my beautiful and brilliant grandchildren. Just give them a little time. The point is that, like all babies, even my own, what they do is they eat, sleep, cry, and do what babies do best, keep the diaper industry going. And oh, sure, there are many moments of melt-your-heart cuteness, but there is no denying what a baby's primary job is. Hopefully, in all this talk about babies, we can come to understand something very important about baptism. Baptism is about God's merciful grace given to a sinful people who have not only not earned it, but don't deserve it. Now, I thank God for my children and my grandchildren. But let's face it, babies can be the most self-centered creatures on the face of the earth. They demand attention when they want it. They don't clean up after themselves. And everyone else's life ought to revolve around them. Yeah, I can hear what some of the wives are thinking to themselves right now. The point is, there is nothing about a baby, or anyone else for that matter, that would merit, earn, or demand God's love and mercy and total acceptance. But then along comes God's free gift of grace through baptism. Baptism is a sacrament of inclusion and welcome into the body of Christ, which we call the church. Baptism is about a way in which God reaches out to humanity when we don't deserve it. It's about the way God loves us even when we're unlovable. It's God saying, welcome humanity, welcome sinners, welcome those who stumble and fall. Amen indeed. Thank you. Thank you, brother. This is also among the reasons we do infant baptism. I mean, why should a child have to wait for this gift of God's grace? Is it only effective if you're at least 12 years old? Is God's grace something that can be bestowed only after a person has done something to trigger it? I don't think so. Grace is a free gift which we embrace and to which we respond. In one of our Lutheran publications titled The Use of the Means of Grace, if you ever want a copy, I'll be happy to loan you one, there is this doctrinal statement. In holy baptism, the triune God delivers us from the forces of evil, puts our sinful self to death, gives us new birth, adopts us as children, and makes us members of the body of Christ, the church. See, I'm not making this stuff up. You hear that part about dying? We die in our baptism. We die a death to sin so that we can be reborn and share in the resurrection of Christ. That's God's promise to us. All right, so how many of us have ever been asked when we were born again? You know, I think we've talked about this before. Yep, you get it a million times. How do you answer that? Well, I guess it kind of depends on how you define being born again. I mean, so how do you define it? Well, the next time someone asks you that, give them the date of your baptism and watch their heads explode. For example, I believe I was born again on November the 14th, 1954, when I was baptized. Came across a really cool story about a man that was written by a man named Ralph Wood, who had the opportunity to witness the baptism of a man who was in prison. Wood had accepted an invitation of the prison chaplain to come and observe the event. And in his story, he wrote that he had accompanied the chaplain through the prison security process and then out into a courtyard area with its high fences and tops with razor wire. And in the courtyard was a very crude box that had a plastic lining in it. As a matter of fact, this box was full of water. As he looked at that box, he realized that it was actually a coffin of the type that the state uses to bury inmates who die in prison and are not claimed by family. Wood writes, "This was no oversized, nice, warm baptismal pool at First Baptist Church. A plastic lined coffin filled with cold water was to be the site of this baptism. The prisoner who was to be baptized approached the box, got in the cold water with his prison clothes on, and was baptized by the chaplain." Wood says that the scene was extremely powerful. He said he watched as the chaplain lifted the prisoner out of the box, and it was as if the newly baptized prisoner was being raised from that watery grave into the bright sunshine of new life. When he emerged, he was offered dry clothes, but declined, saying, "No thanks, I want to wear these clothes as long as I can." So Wood, the chaplain, and the prisoner sat down at a nearby table, and as the sun began to dry the prisoner's clothes, Wood and the chaplain listened to the man explain why he never wanted to dry off. He said, "Now I am truly a free man. I'm not even impatient to leave prison anymore because this wire cannot shackle my soul. I know I deserve to come here to pay for what I did. But I also learned here that someone else has already paid for all my crimes." In a sense, we are all prisoners, just like this man, prisoners to our broken nature. But in the eyes of a holy and merciful God, we're also loved. And when we're baptized, we're all bathed in God's grace and made one with Christ, forgiven, claimed. In this, the most defining event of our lives, we are forever and forever and ever sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ. Our baptism defines us. Our baptism identifies us. My own faith identity, my own theology has its foundation in my baptism. When you see me cross myself during our worship service, I'm making a visible sign in remembrance of my own baptism and its deep meaning. When we enter the sanctuary, we stop at the font, dip our finger in the water, make the sign of the cross as a reminder that we are still walking wet with Christ and that we continue in our journey until we are called home, marking the fulfillment of our baptism. I encourage everyone to make this a practice. Luther himself teaches us in his morning and evening prayer to begin and end each day by making the sign of the cross. So it's not just a Catholic thing, y'all. It's very Lutheran. John baptized with water to symbolize cleansing. But Jesus brings the Spirit to wash away sin, to bring God's presence into our lives in a visible, tangible means of sacramental grace. So that's why Jesus was baptized, and that's why it makes a difference. So thanks be to God for the saving gifts of water and the Spirit, and for the promise that these gifts bring us each day from death to sin and into life in the shining light of Christ. Amen.